Amen. Psalms chapter number 23 and verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Amen. We're going to stop right there for a moment. We'll pick up there in a little bit. But let's pray and let's ask for God's hand upon this service today. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for your precious word, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the word of God that gets into our hearts, Lord, that gets into the joints and the marrow, God, that ministers to us, that changes us and shapes us, God, into what you want us to be, God. Lord, give us understanding, open our minds to receive your word today, God. We'll be sure to give you the thanks and the praise that's due unto your name. And everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. Amen. You know, I was looking at the psalm here, and this is a very familiar psalm. Most of us have read this or heard this spoken of before, but I was looking at the first couple of lines of this psalm or the song of David, and we see here that he relates to something that he knows quite a bit about. Amen. That thing he's relating to is being a shepherd. David is probably one of the most well-known shepherds in the Bible. There are people like Abel who raised the flock, people like Abraham, his son Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs that we talk so much about. These men were all shepherds. They had flocks that they cared after, or that eventually once they got so big or once they moved on in life, they had men that were hired under them that would take care of their flocks. Amen. And we know throughout the Bible that there was a lot of sheep that were present. If you look in the book of Job, the number of sheep that he lost was a great amount. When they dedicated the temple, they sacrificed tens of thousands of sheep at the sacrifice of at the dedication of the temple. And so sheep were very much a part of the life of the Jews. They were very much a part of the life of this young man that we're talking about, David, today. David is, like I said, probably one of the most well-known shepherds in the Bible, but there are others. 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse 11 says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch for him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Now we know this story. I just kind of pulled this out of a story, but this is the story where Samuel comes to anoint the next king over Israel. And all the brothers are marched before him from the oldest to the youngest. And each time he says, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen this one. No, the Lord's got something else. No, it's not that one." And they get to the next to the last youngest brother, if you will. And there's none left. And Samuel says, "Well, are these all your children? There's got to be something else because the Lord hasn't chosen any of these." And he says, "Oh yeah, wait, there's one more. He's out in the field with the sheep." In those times, the youngest son would be responsible for the family's sheep. Amen. Each of David's older brothers had at one time held the title of shepherd. And so when the oldest brother was born, he became, once he was old enough to take care of and to care for the sheep, he would begin to take care of them. But eventually, he would outgrow that role and he would be needed elsewhere. He would be needed to harvest or to sow seed or you know, in planting or whatever the case may be. And so the next younger brother would take on the role of shepherd. And eventually, the youngest son would become the family shepherd. He would be the one that not only would he take care of him in his youth, but he would take care of them as he got older. And this is the lot that fell unto David. David was the family shepherd, if you will. He was the youngest brother. And he was the one that was charged with taking care of the sheep, not only for himself, but for his entire family. Amen. And you know what? David was fine with that. That suited him just well. Because David, if we read about him and we kind of read between the lines of his life, David liked to be off by himself. He liked the time to reflect before the Lord, and he liked the time to be away from everybody, be away from the distractions of life, and just spend time with his sheep. David understood some things about sheep, and it shows here in the book of Psalms. As I did some study in this, I got more and more excited as I read. It wasn't just words that David was writing or a song that he was writing, but it was something that he understood. It was something that was near and dear to his heart. He says that in the verse that we read, he says, the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. Amen. This is just where the sheep desire to be. This is where they wanted to be. If sheep have plenty to eat, they are not hungry. I know that's pretty profound here this morning, but if sheep have plenty of food to eat, they don't get hungry. And they don't have the tendency to stray away from the flock as much. Hunger is a driving force, not only for sheep, but for us today. Amen. When we're hungry, we want something to fill us up. We want something to fill that void in our stomachs or in some instances in our soul. The same can be said for every one of us here today. If we're staying full, hunger won't be as much of a pull to us as it is to other people. It's not going to pull us elsewhere looking for nourishment and sustenance. Can I say today that if there's plenty to feast on, and I believe that there's plenty to feast on in the presence of God. Whenever we come into God's presence, there's plenty here to eat. Amen. There's plenty in the Word of God. When you take your time to read your Bible, there's plenty to feast on. And if you leave this house, and if you leave reading your Bible or drawing close to God, if you leave that place hungry, it's not because you were not provided for. It's because you did not partake in what you were given. Amen. And that applies to all of us. Amen. We can come to church, we can come to service, and we can go through the motions. And we can get up and walk out the door, and by the time we hit the front steps, forget what the man of God even preached about. And what direction he was trying to go, what direction he was trying to lead our minds in to get into the presence of God and the will of God for that service. Amen. I'm guilty of it too. You know, we get up in the morning, we go to work, we don't even realize that we're at work before we wake up. Sometimes it's that way when we come into the house of God. We get halfway through the service before we realize that we're even in the house of God, and it shouldn't be that way. Amen. But we are creatures of habit. We are creatures of habit. We come and we do the same things, and you can almost set it on autopilot. But you know what? In living for God, we can't set autopilot. Because you know what? There's going to be some bumps and some jolts. There's going to be some things that get in our way that we have to make course corrections. Amen. And whenever we're coming into the house of God, we want to come with a hungry heart. We want to come with a hungry spirit. We want whatever God has for us. Amen. And God doesn't have just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for us. Amen. God's got a feast prepared. Amen. If you like peanut butter and jelly, that's okay. Amen. You can fill up on peanut butter. If you get enough of them, I guess you can fill up on peanut butter and jelly. Amen. But I'd rather have steak and potatoes. Amen. Amen. But there's plenty to feast on in the presence of God. David goes on to say that the Lord leads him by still waters. Amen. I found it interesting that sheep, and especially sheep in that time, maybe now it's not as much so, but sheep are very skittish animals, and they're very scared by rushing waters. They would not go down to the water to drink of the water if that water was churning and moving too much. So that it was the shepherd's job to lead them by still waters. It was the shepherd's job to find a place where the waters were calmer, to where they could drink of it without being scared. Sheep would actually go long distances or long times without drinking if there was no still waters for them to drink from. And if they could not find churned up waters, that's where they would go to the well and they would draw the water for the sheep. But depending on how big your flock is, how much water would you have to draw for the sheep? So much easier to find a brook or a creek where the waters were still that the animals could drink there. Amen. And David understood these things. David understood exactly what these sheep needed. And by saying that the Lord is my shepherd, David understood that the Lord knows exactly what we have need of. He provides exactly what we need. He provides still waters. He provides green pastures. Amen. And by saying this, David was able to say, I shall not want. I shall not want, because God knows exactly what I have need of. God knows what my soul has need of. And I shall not want, because God's going to give me everything that I need. Right. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. In Bible times, the shepherds would... I hope this is all right. This is a little bit of a history lesson, if you will, but I found it so interesting what these shepherds did and just how profound the words of David were here. But he said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Shepherds in that time would lead their sheep down narrow paths that would go between the fields. And the fields in those times were not like the fields we see today that have fences around them, holding them back. But these fields didn't have any barrier. They didn't have any fence. And so you had fields on the left hand and fields on the right hand. And he would lead those sheep through that path. And these sheep were not able to go off into that field. That field may not belong to them. That field may not belong to that shepherd. And if the sheep went off and destroyed the field or ate some of the crops, then that man or that shepherd was responsible for paying that money back, for paying whatever the loss was back. And you can imagine, almost like single file, almost like, well, like we wish our kids would do more often, in single file order, these sheep, one after another, going down that path. Neither one of them, none of them turning to the left or to the right. It was because they trusted their shepherd. They knew that he knew where he was going. And they, as long as they followed him, they were going to be okay. They were going to be safe. It also goes back to that being hungry. They knew that the shepherd knew good places for them to graze, and they didn't have to eat over here or eat over there to get filled up, but he was going to take them to some place that was better. Imagine if you had a large flock, how difficult that would be. But, you know, as long as these sheep are well fed, they have less desire to go astray. Chapter 23 and verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David says that the rod and the staff are comforting to him. These both refer to instruments that were used by the shepherd on a daily basis. Amen. The rod, if you will, that the shepherd held was similar to a policeman's club. And it had a ball on the end of it, and sometimes they would even drive spikes or nails into the end of it. And this was used for protection. Not protection from the sheep, but rather protection from anything that would come against the sheep. Amen. We know the story David talks about when he comes before King Saul, and he says, "I will go out against this Philistine." That's what they're talking about in Sunday school. He said, "I'll go out against this Philistine." And he said, "You're just a boy. You don't know how to go out against this. This man's been a man of war since his birth. How are you supposed to do anything against this man?" And he begins to tell him, he said, "When I was a little shepherd boy, there was a bear and there was a lion that came against my father's flock. And I had to defend him. And they took one of the sheep and I had to chase after him. And I had to slay the lion. I had to slay the bear." No doubt the instrument that he used in that fight was the club. Was the shepherd's, the rod, if you will. The shepherd's rod. Amen. Maybe he used his bare hands. The Bible doesn't allude to what he did, but it was a very common practice that the shepherd would have a rod with him to protect the sheep. And so David understood that there was something important about this rod. Amen. He goes on to say, "Thy staff," amen, It comforts me. The shepherd's staff is what you would picture, or what we would picture, I guess, in modern age, of a 5 or 6 foot long staff, and sometimes it would have a crook at the end of it. And we see, or we visualize the picture of, you know, a shepherd grabbing a sheep by the neck and pulling him back. Amen. And sometimes that had to take place. In fact, it wasn't just the staff that he used to pull them back, but the sling that David used to kill Goliath and the stones, that was a pretty common occurrence for a shepherd to have. And what he would do is, if the sheep got too far away, he would sling and it would hit the ground in front of the sheep. He wouldn't hit the sheep, but he would hit the ground and he would spook the sheep back his direction. So when David went to fight against Goliath, this wasn't the first time he had spun that sling around. Amen. But he had a staff as well. The staff was not just to pull the sheep back, but the staff was something that was known by the sheep. They would run up against it when they would run up against the shepherd. And the staff and the rod were things that were used to number the sheep or to count the sheep as they would go into the fold. These are things that a shepherd used every day. And David here, alluding to the Lord, says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God, I know as long as you have your rod and your staff, God, that you're going to protect me and that you're going to keep me a part of the flock. Amen. He's relating this unto things that he knows about. Amen. You know, it would be as if the Lord relating it to Brother Troy about bucking rivets. I know that sounds funny, but you know, it's something that you can relate to. It's something that you know about. And the Lord can talk to us in ways that we can understand because he relates to us. And so David attributes these qualities of a shepherd to the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he understood exactly what that meant to be a shepherd. Shepherding was something that was well known to all people in Bible times. It was something that they could understand and what it entailed and what it required of a person to be a shepherd. Some people looked down upon the shepherds. The Pharisees and the religious leaders sometimes would look down upon the shepherds as lazy. But if they really understood what it entailed to be a shepherd, they wouldn't call those men lazy. It was something that the Jews could relate to. John chapter number 10 and verse 1, another very prominent example in the Bible talking about being a shepherd. Jesus here speaking to the people says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." Here again we see Jesus teaching and referencing the occupation of a shepherd because it was something that these people that he was talking to could relate to. He states that the shepherd calls his sheep by name, and this was a very common practice. Amen. Maybe not so much today. The way that they raise sheep today is just in huge herds and they don't know one from the other. But in those Bible times, this was a very common practice, especially if they had a smaller flock. They knew each one of them and they would name them names. And it wasn't names like Bob or Joe or Sally, but they would name them names by their characteristics, gray face or you know, Whitey or whatever, you know. I know my wife thinks some of those names that you name a dog Spot or Rover, you know, she doesn't like those ordinary names, but they would name them by their characteristics, and that's how they distinguished them. They knew that each individual sheep had a personality, and the shepherd would love the sheep very, very much. He would care for them. Amen. You can see the tender mercy that a shepherd would have for his sheep because he loved them enough to give them a name. They weren't just dumb animals, you know, that provided for the people. You know, oh, well, we need their wool. We need their sheepskin. We need their ram's horns. We need these things. And they did use those things, but they were part of their family. Amen. There was tender affection that the shepherd had for each of his sheep. Verse 4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Amen. If you've ever seen sheep, and at least here in America, and shepherds, the way that they lead the sheep, they drive them, and they use dogs, and they use horses. They use, you know, they'll corral the sheep, and they'll push them through gates or through into a sheepfold, into a place where the sheep would stay at night. Amen. But the shepherds in Bible times didn't lead them this way. Very rarely were they ever behind the sheep. Most of the time, they would be in front of them or in the midst of the sheep, and they would lead them. Whatever direction that the shepherd would walk, the sheep would want to go in that direction. And sure, there were times that a sheep would go astray and he would have to bring them back in. But most of the time, the shepherd would lead the flock, not drive or push the flock. Amen. You know, a lot of times people get into a position of authority and they think that they can just push somebody. They can just force somebody to do something, to do it their way, to do it my way, to do it whatever the case may be. Amen. And you know, I can tell you, if you've ever seen someone trying to get corral sheep or even cattle for that matter, or whatever the case may be, there's always going to be those that don't want to be driven. There's going to be those stubborn ones that don't want to go through the gate. Amen. But if you lead them and they love you and they know that you love them, You go through the gate and they're going to follow you right into it. Amen. And he understood this. Jesus and the shepherds, no doubt that he was talking to, understood this. They understood that this was the shepherd's way, that they would go willingly with them. Verse 5 says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Amen. Sheep have the ability to differentiate different voices. Not only the voice itself, but the tone of the voice. You can throw your voice to try to sound like somebody. I don't think I could throw my voice to sound like Tom today, but you know, you can throw your voice to sound like somebody else. But these sheep, these quote-unquote dumb animals, were able to be able to tell the difference between voices. And they were able to tell a difference between who was talking to them. Amen. It was not uncommon in Bible times for several flocks of sheep to come together into a pasture to graze. And you would have three or four different flocks intermingled, eating there. And they would eat together, and you would, to someone like myself, I'd be like, how am I ever going to find the ones that are mine? But the shepherd would simply lift his voice, and he would have a call, or he would have a sound that he would make, or a whistle, or a word that he would speak. And it was almost like the waters parting of the Red Sea. Those sheep would begin to go off into the different directions to their flock. Amen. They were so in tune with the voice of their shepherd that another shepherd couldn't say the same words or do the same things to try to get them to go in a different direction. They wouldn't follow him. Amen. And it's that way, it should be that way in the house of God. Amen. If we know our shepherd's voice, if we know the voice of the man that's leading us and guiding us, that's going to lead us into righteousness, that's going to lead us into holiness. Amen. When there comes another voice that tries to get you to go this direction, oh, well, it sounds similar to my pastor. It sounds similar to the man of God, but that's not my pastor. That's not the voice that I'm used to. Well, he's promised that he's got green fields over here, and he's got, oh, still waters over here. But that's not tested. That's not tried. I know that my pastor, I know that my shepherd is going to lead me to good things. I'm not going to try something else. Amen. These sheep would be able to be separated out simply by hearing the shepherd's voice. Amen. John chapter, or going on verse 6 says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen. Amen. Jesus tells them that he's the door. Amen. And he is. We understand that it's through Jesus that we obtain salvation. It's through Jesus that we come to a place of repentance. It's through Jesus that we have the ability to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. He is the door by which they gain access, by which we gain access to the sheepfold. Amen. Oftentimes, the shepherd in those times would lay in the entryway or the gate of the sheepfold. After all the sheep were in, the walkway that they would go through, he would lay his body there. And that's where, if he did sleep, that's where he would sleep. And there was two reasons for this. Amen. Not only so that the sheep couldn't get out, but so that the thief or the robber or the animal, the wolf, whatever it is, couldn't get in. He would lay his life down as a sacrifice, amen, for the sheep. Amen. Sounds vaguely familiar to Calvary, where he laid his life down for his sheep, for the flock. Amen. The sheepfold, a lot of times, they would build the walls up very high, 5, 6, 7 feet tall, and they would put thorns briars and thorns on the top of it so that the thieves couldn't climb over. So the only way to get into the sheepfold was to go through the door. Amen. In that times, the robbers would come in, and if they could get over it, they would kill the sheep, and they would throw the bodies over the fence to other thieves, other cohorts. Amen. But we know that it is the shepherd that comes in and out through the door. Amen. He's not going to climb over the fence unless it's to chase after a sheep. Amen. And so we understand here that you know, these things that they're talking about, all the things that David spoke of and the things that Jesus is speaking here, it relates to the people of God that he was speaking to. I know it may not mean a lot to us here today because we don't understand all the ways of a shepherd. But as I read this, like I said, I got excited because he was relating to them. He was reaching them on their level. He was taking it to them on their level and then telling them things that they could understand. He wasn't trying to lord himself over them or try to speak big words and big ideas that they couldn't grasp, they couldn't understand. You know, I talked the other day about Newton's laws of physics. I'm just going to be honest, I don't understand all of that. If I can use it to relate a principle of God, I will. But I'll tell you what, I don't totally understand how all of that works. But I'll tell you what, God understands and God knows what we need to hear and what we need to see to draw closer to Him. He understands the words that each of us, and there's a lot of different situations, different people, different lifestyles here today. Every one of you, God knows how to speak to you in this specific way that is going to reach you on that intimate soul level. Amen. And He uses His shepherd to do so. He uses the man of God. And Brother Worse, and he's not here and he didn't pay me to say this, but he has such a great way of understanding this concept of what people, where they're coming from and what they need to hear. Amen. I've sat in Bible studies with him and I'm just racking my brain. How does he know? God tells him, you know, the shepherd is connected. The under shepherd, if you will, is connected to the shepherd. And he knows what the flock has need of. Amen. Verse 11, if we jump down a little bit, says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Jesus says here that he is the good shepherd. He's not some hireling that the shepherd is paying to help out with corralling the sheep, but this is a person that has vested interest. He's not somebody that's going from flock to flock trying to find a job. Amen. A hireling will come and you pay them a certain amount to do the work that you ask them to do, but they don't have any vested interest. If the sheep are taken, if the sheep are destroyed, if they're killed, then he'll just find another flock to go help. Amen. But the shepherd loves his sheep. He's connected to his sheep. If one of them goes astray, if one of them gets lost, he's going to go looking for it because he has a vested interest. He has a love for that one particular sheep. Amen. If one dies or one is killed, he grieves over that sheep. And he desires it back. He wishes that he could have been there. He beats himself up because he wishes he could have helped that sheep because he loves. He has a tender mercy for these sheep. Amen. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As I was studying this subject out, this thing amazed me more than anything of how well shepherds know their sheep. A couple of examples I want to read to you today. Sheep are usually counted each evening as they enter into the fold, but sometimes the shepherd dispenses with the counting, for he is able to feel the absence of any one of his sheep. With one sheep gone, something is felt to be missing from the appearance of the entire flock. He can look out over the flock of sheep and he can tell that there's something different about it. One shepherd in the Lebanon district, and this is obviously present day, but this relates to Bible times. It says he was asked if he could, if he always counted his sheep in the evening, and he replied in the negative. And then when he asked how he knew if all his sheep were present, he answered with this. He said, "Master, if you were to put a cloth over my eyes and bring me any sheep and only let me put my hands on his face, I could tell you in a moment if it was mine or not." Just by the feel, he knew his sheep so well that just by the feel, he could say, "Nope, this one's not mine." Or this one, "Yeah, yep, this one is mine." And no doubt, if he knew that it was his, he knew the name of that sheep as well. He knew which one it was, and he could picture it in his mind. Amen. When a man visited the desert, the desert Arabs, he witnessed an event that revealed the amazing knowledge which some of them have on their sheep, of their sheep. One evening, shortly after dark, an Arab shepherd began to call out one by one the names of his 51 mother sheep, and was able not only to pick them out, but he was able to pick out each one's lamb and restore it to its mother to suckle. To do this in the light would have been a feat for many shepherds, but this was done in complete darkness and in the midst of the noise coming from the ewes crying for their lambs and the lambs crying for their mothers. That's awesome to me. Amen. That's awesome to me that a person can be that intimate, that related to his sheep, that he knows them well enough. He knows the mothers and he knows which ones are their babies. And he can put them together in the middle of the night without even looking at them in chaos. And maybe it's just really neat to me because I'm so one-track minded, and that's so awesome to me that somebody in the midst of all that chaos can be able to put all that together. And how much more does our shepherd know us? How much more does our shepherd know our faces? How much more does our shepherd know our personalities? How much more does our shepherd understand our weaknesses and our faults? How much more does our shepherd know us and can tell us apart from somebody else? Amen. God is that perfect shepherd. Amen. God is that perfect shepherd. The Bible calls him that good shepherd. Amen. That knows how to care for each and every one of us. John chapter 10 and verse 24 says, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, and he says, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." There's a lot that we can glean from these verses today. Jesus said that if we are his sheep, that we are going to hear his voice. Amen. Amen. We need to be able to hear the voice of God as children of God. Amen. That means that there's times, just like those sheep, that the shepherd is going to say, "No, no, no, don't go that way." There's going to be times that when we wander astray, that we feel that gentle nudge or pull of that shepherd's staff against us, trying to pull us back. Sheep can be very stubborn animals. Sheep, and then you have rams, which are another derivative, but rams obviously a little bit more stubborn, but they can be very stubborn and they can be very strong. And if they want to fight away from that staff, they have the ability to do so. The shepherd can go over and pick them up and grab them, and sometimes they would have to. Sometimes the shepherd would have to pick up the sheep or the ram and throw them over their shoulders, but a grown sheep or a ram would be too much for a shepherd to carry for a very, very, very long distance of time. And so they would lead them not by force, but they would lead them by love. And they would lead them by compassion. They would lead them by pulling them and drawing them close to them, making them desire to be close to the shepherd. Amen. The sheep, they didn't know the direction they needed to go. They needed a shepherd. Everything seemed appealing to them. Every voice that they heard, they would perk up their ears. But they knew that their shepherd loved them. They knew that they would, as long as they would go back to their shepherd, that they would be well taken care of. Sometimes hearing and listening to the voice of God can be easier said than done. How will you know if it's God's voice or the voice of a stranger? We need to be able to tell the difference today. We need to be able to tell the difference between the voice of God and the voice of a hireling, or the voice of somebody else that would try to lead us astray. And unfortunately, we live in a world that there are a lot of voices. There's a lot of voices that are trying to lead us in different directions. In order to know the wrong voice to listen to, we have to be very familiar with the right voice.
Amen.
Amen. We have to be very familiar with the voice of God in our lives. The voice of our shepherd will be a very distinctive sound. It will not resemble or imitate anything that this world has to offer. It's not going to be a mixture of the world and God. It's going to be part this, part that, but it's going to be something that's completely different. Amen. It's going to be something that's completely opposite of what the world has to say. Amen. That's the voice that you're going to hear. Amen. It's going to be something similar. I'm going to use this, and I've used this before, but someone like Brother Tom's voice being very low, and someone, you know, like Rapity's voice being high. You're not going to confuse those two people. If you're in the dark and you hear, or you hear them on the phone and they're talking to you, you're not going to say, "Well, is that you, Tom? I'm not sure. I don't know," because you know their voice. You know what they sound like. Amen. And people know Tom's voice. Amen. There's no distinguishing. There's no, questioning Brother Tom's voice today. Amen. We get familiar with a voice and we understand what it sounds like. There's no mistaking two people. And in the same way, there's no mistaking the voice of God for the voice of the world. Firstly, we know the voice of God by knowing the Word of God. Amen. If you know the Word of God and you've got the Word of God down in your heart, God's voice will always, without question, without doubt, God's voice will always line up with His Word.
Amen.
Amen. That can be your first check. Okay, I hear a voice saying this. Is it of God? Is it not of God? Well, let me see. Does it line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the voice of God. I know that sounds simplistic, but that's profound if you just get a hold of it. God's voice and God's will never go outside of God's Word. God's Word is perfect and it is established. And it's going to be here until this earth, this the heavens and the earth pass away. And so we have to get a hold of the Word of God. We have to get it into our hearts so we know what the voice of God is saying. Secondly, we hear the voice of the Lord through the preaching or the teaching of His Word. God uses the ministry and more specifically, the pastor to be His voice unto the church. In fact, if you look it up in the original, the word pastor literally means a shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd. Amen. And the church, the church family, the saints of God are the flock. We are the flock of God. We are the sheep of His pasture. Amen. That's why David was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Amen. Because he understood that we have a shepherd in our lives. The last thing we also need to know the voice of God is our relationship with Him. If you talk to God and not just talk, not just a one-way communication, but you open your ears to listen to Him, God will speak to you. It may not be in an audible voice, but I will tell you that you will know the voice of God when He speaks to you. Amen. And like I said, it's going to line up with His Word. God's not going to speak to you in your time of prayer and say, "You know what? It's okay to go out and steal just this one time. I can forgive you when you come back to me," and God can. But the voice of God is never going to tell you to do that. The voice of God is going to tell you to do His will. The voice of God is going to tell you to go in a direction that's going to bless you. And a lot of times, the voice of God is going to tell you to go away from the things of this world. It's going to be 180 degrees out of phase with what this world has to offer. And so through our relationship with Him, we can know the will of God in our lives. And we can know every situation what way God wants us to go. If we're full of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be a whole lot easier to have ears to hear what the voice of God is trying to say to us. Amen. It's in those times when we draw close to Him in prayer, when we seek His face, and we get renewed in the Holy Ghost. It's in those times that God has the most open channel of communication to speak to us and to minister to us and to give us what we need to hear. On the other hand, the voice of a stranger or the enemy should be a voice that we should watch out for. Oftentimes, a stranger will try to make the voice to sound more like the shepherd. Throw their voice kind of high like Tom did. But you know what? It's not going to fool you if you know the voice of your shepherd. The stranger is going to tell you things that contradict the Word of God. He's going to tell you that a scripture isn't that important, or that being too extreme or too radical, you don't have to go that far. You don't have to do that far. You don't have to believe that far. The stranger is going to tell you that you don't need to listen to the spiritual authority in your life. Oh, well, you're smart enough. You're a grown man or woman. You can figure it out on your own. You don't need to listen to them. Who are they? They're just a man or a woman as well. You're right. They are. But they're also a man, in the case of our pastor, they're a man that God called to this city, that He called to this church. Amen. To watch for your soul and my soul and every soul that walks through those doors. He's not a hireling. He's not here just for the money. He's not here just for the benefits, I can tell you that. But He's here because He has a God-given call to this city and to this area. And He has a God-given call and desire. And He has developed that call and that desire in His heart to see each and every one of you saved. Amen. Amen. The enemy will tell you, you don't have to listen to him. You don't have to submit to him. Oh, well, he's just lording himself over you. He's just trying to run your life and tell you how you have to live and what you can and can't do. And if you think that of our pastor, you haven't gotten to know him very well. Because he does not lord himself over people. He does not force his will or even the will of God on somebody if you don't want it. But in a loving and a caring and a compassionate way, he will tell you, thus saith the word of the Lord. And he will tell you, you know what? You probably ought not to do this, or you probably ought not to go this direction. Why not? I feel it from God. You probably ought to go a different direction than this. And you know, we can choose how we respond to that. We can choose if we submit. And you know what? Our generation, they want a reason. You got to give me, you know, a reason why you would want me to do something like that. But I'll tell you, you'll be very blessed if you just follow the Word of God and follow the commandment of the man of God without question. Amen. And I'm not saying, okay, this goes back to, you know, lining up with the Word of God. If he tells you to do something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, you have every right not to obey. But if He tells you something that's going to bless you and something that He sees down the road that's going to help you to draw closer to God, and you know what? Brother Worst does that. I mean, he doesn't just, oh, well, you know what? I think I'm going to try to get somebody to obey this commandment just because it'll be fun. He doesn't do that. He tells us things that are going to bless us. He tells us what the Word of God has to say about it. And he helps us to see what God's will is for our future. Amen. And I'll tell you from experience, I've given up some things that I didn't want to give up. But when I looked back at them, you know, give it a year, give it a couple years. When I looked back at them, I was able to see it from His perspective. I was able to see it the way He saw it. And I was able to say, you know what? That was hurting me. That was leading me farther away from God. I needed to get rid of that. And I have a few times, probably not enough, but I've gone to him and I said, Pastor, thank you for telling me that. Thank you for saying that to me because I needed to hear that right then. Amen. And he's just following the shepherd. He's just following God. He just wants us to follow God. Amen. The stranger is going to lead you in a way that's going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's going to tell you that certain paths are easier and you don't have to work or labor as hard as if you go this direction or that direction. Amen. The Bible tells us that broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But narrow and smaller, a lot smaller, is the gate that leads to righteousness. Amen. You're not going to be able to just go any way you please, in any direction you please, but just like he led the sheep through those crops and told them you can't turn to the left or to the right, we have to walk with God that way. We have to walk down the straight and the narrow. We don't turn to our left or to our right because we're going to get off the right path. And you know what? We might miss out. Amen. When I was preparing, I thought about, you know, the typical conscience picture, I guess you will, a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder, and you got one whispering in this ear and another one whispering in this ear. Well, you can do this and you can do that, and no, you don't need to worry about that. Amen. You know, oftentimes it's believed to be our conscience, but I believe that it goes beyond our conscience. There are going to be at least two voices that are trying to get us to listen to it and follow it. That of God and that of the world. Amen. The voice of the stranger is going to tell you that you can't be happy unless you have money or possessions. It's going to tell you that once you get all of these things or you do these certain things, that then you're going to find true happiness. Amen. The voice of the shepherd is going to tell you that things cannot make you happy. He's going to tell you that true happiness comes from God and that we can keep true happiness by having a relationship with Him. The voice of the stranger is going to tell you that you need to dress a certain way or look a certain way so that you can get others' attention or so that you can fit in. It says that you're never going to get married or you're not going to be blessed on your job or if you don't do things this way or that way. It says that no one's ever going to think that you're beautiful unless you do something a certain way, unless you look a certain way. On the other hand, the voice of the shepherd says that your body is a temple for His Spirit to dwell in and that you don't need to decorate it with the outward appearance. You don't need to alter the outward, but rather allow people to see the beauty of holiness that's coming down from the deep, from deep down inside of you. Amen. You know, I think of that cliche that beauty Beauty is deep down or from the inside, and ugly skin deep, whatever, however it goes. But you know what? It's beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes to the bone. That's what it is. I don't know if you've ever heard. I've heard people say that before. But you know what? Beauty is from deep inside of us. Our beauty is not what we look like on the outside, and I'm thankful for that because, you know, I can be as beautiful as I want to be and not have to worry about what this old ugly outside looks like. But our beautiness is not what the world looks at. We don't look at things the same way the world looks at things. It's not all about drawing attention to yourself or looking beautiful for the world. Our beauty comes from the inside. It comes from the presence of God that He puts inside of us. Amen. Amen. The stranger is going to tell you that you don't need anyone to tell you what to do. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we all need the voice of a shepherd in our lives. We need somebody that you know, he's got a better vantage point than you and I. Amen. The Bible calls him the watchman on the wall. Amen. In Bible times, they would have the enemy would come and try to attack, and whenever the watchman was up there, he would see the enemy afar off, and he would ring the bell or blow the trumpet, and he would warn everybody, and they would close up the city, and they would prepare for what was coming their way. Amen. And the pastor is the same as that watchman. He's not elevated so that he can lord himself over to you, but he does have a position that God has given to him so that he can see things that maybe you and I don't see. And he sees things and he tells us things. He warns us of things that we need to know about so that we don't get caught unaware. Amen. The voice of the shepherd is going to be a completely different voice than that of the world. So why is it that these voices sound so different? Why is it that the voice of the world and the voice of the shepherd sound so different? It's because they are different. The voice of the shepherd is truth. The voice of our shepherd is truth, always. The voice of the stranger or of the enemy is that of a liar. And the Bible says the devil is a liar. Amen. There is no truth in him. If we refer to the sheep in the scripture, then the enemy would be referred to as the wolf. Matthew 7 and verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Unfortunately, there are going to be people that claim to be prophets and claim to proclaim the word of God, but they are really wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that we are to try the spirits to know whether they are of God. Amen. And unfortunately, that even applies to people that claim to be men of God. Because there's going to be some that are going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible says that we will know them by their fruit. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." If you've ever seen a sheep, you'll understand what is meant by the word flock. Oftentimes they're all flocked together, grouped together. The Bible talks about one sheep that leaves the flock and gets lost, and that's because the flock is supposed to stay together. The saints of God are supposed to stay together. Amen. Amen. Has anybody ever heard the saying, "There's safety in numbers"? Right. It's true. It's very true. There is safety in the flock. There's safety in the church. There's safety amongst the people of God. Amen. Oftentimes the wolf will try to get one sheep to go astray or to leave the flock, if even just for a moment. And the wolf understands that they're powerless. The enemy of our soul knows that they are powerless in the house of God, and especially when we have our mindset and our mentality on praise. He cannot cohabitate with that. If we come into this house and we lift our voices and we clap our hands and we give God the praise that's due unto his name, devils have to flee this place. And you know what? Then we know that the voice that we're hearing is that of our shepherd. Right. Amen. Because it drives out the wolves. It drives out those that would try to come and harm us. Amen. When somebody goes astray, when one of the flock goes astray, it doesn't happen quickly. The sheep would never be led directly astray. They're not going to, you know, see a wolf and just follow the wolf out of the flock. It doesn't happen that way. But the tactic of the wolf is to get the sheep to hang out on the outskirts of the flock first. Amen. Then they tempt them to begin to move a little ways away from the others. Maybe they'll move away just for a moment or two and then return to the flock. Maybe they'll allow their prayer life to slip a little bit, or they won't get renewed in the Holy Ghost when they have a chance. Little by little, the wolf lures the sheep farther and farther away from the flock. And little by little, the wolf entices the sheep with things to distract it so that it doesn't realize how far out it's gotten this time. Little by little, until eventually the sheep looks up and the flock and the shepherd and all that it had before is gone. And all it sees are the bright, beady eyes of the wolf. I want to tell someone today, don't get to this place. Don't allow the enemy of your soul to entice you and to pull you away from the flock of God. Don't allow another voice to pull you away from the voice of your shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let the devil deceive you and trick you into believing a lie.
Right.
Amen. We have a good shepherd today. Amen. We have a good shepherd today, and he loves us. Amen. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Our shepherd, he loves each and every one of us. He cares for us. Amen. He's not looking for a reason to get us out of the flock, out of the fold. He's not looking for a reason to get rid of us, no matter how annoying we may be. But he's looking for every reason that he can to keep us in the flock and to help us to make it all the way to heaven. I want to ask us today, whose voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the stranger's voice that will lead us this way or that way, lead us astray off the righteous path? Are you going to listen to the voice of the enemy that would like nothing more than to see you lost? Or are you going to listen to the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the only one who truly understands you, the only one that understands where you're coming from and knows where you're going, the one who truly loves you, and the one who is trying to help you to make it all the way to heaven? Amen. I want to be part of that flock. I want to be part of his flock. I want to be part of the flock as David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He leadeth me by still waters. He leads me through green pastures. Amen. He restores my soul and leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how much you might want to throw in the towel, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to give up. It's not worth it to give up. But it says, David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. I want to be a part of his flock. I want to be a part of the good shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together this morning.
Praise God.
Praise God. Let's sing a chorus. But before we do, let's pray. Let's thank God for his goodness right now. Let's thank him for what he's doing in our lives and what he's got in store for each and every one of us. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a calling that he has for your life. Amen. And we all need to get a hold of that calling. We all need to get a hold of that plan and that purpose. We need to let him lead us as a good shepherd. Lord Jesus, I thank you today, God. Oh, let's lift our voices right now, Lord. We praise you in this house today, God. We thank you for your word today, Jesus. God, we thank you for the Holy Ghost today, God. We thank you for the work that you're doing in the church, Lord God. And Lord, and for the work that you're doing in each of our lives, Lord. God, I'm so very thankful, God, for my pastor, Lord. I'm thankful for my shepherd, God, that you put in my life, God, that's given me direction, God, that said things to me and shown things to me that I needed to see, God. God, I want to be conformable, God. I want to be moldable in your hand, and I want you to be able to make me into what you want me to be, God. Lord Jesus, lead us by still waters, God. Lead us in green pastures, Lord. Lead us in the right way, Lord, in righteous paths for your name's sake, God. We'll be sure to thank you and give you all the praise, God, that's due unto your name. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now.